Hi, I'm Denise Glenn, and I want to welcome you to Fan the Flame. Thank you so much for coming to this Bible study series on worship. The whole series is going to be about worship. We're going to have all different kinds of worship experiences as we trace through the worship of a lot of the Bible characters who've been very familiar to us. In this series, we started out with a prayer. So I want you to join me in looking in Isaiah 64. In Isaiah 64, 1 through 4, we're going to look at this prayer from Isaiah. In this prayer from Isaiah, we're going to find that Isaiah is actually voicing a prayer to God about God bringing about worship and revival where he is. Now, we're going to start by reading in verse 1, Isaiah 64, 1. Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down, that the mountains would tremble before you, as when fire sets twigs ablaze and causes water to boil. Come down to make your name known to your enemies and cause the nations to quake before you. For when you did awesome things, we did not expect. You came down, and the mountains trembled before you. Since ancient times, no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God besides you who acts on behalf of those who wait for him. Look at this prayer. Isaiah is praying, God, shake the mountains. Cause them to tremble. This is a prayer we can pray over our own lives and our own heart, that God would actually cause us to be shaken out of our complacency and be ready for worship. Then he starts praying that God would cause the fire to boil, that there would be a white hot boiling fire of passion. We're praying that as we study and fan the flame, our hearts will actually catch fire, that we will be alight with God's Spirit. Then in verse 3, he says, when you did awesome things we did not expect, you came down. I think we need to be praying for God to do things we didn't expect. I think we want to ask God to do things out of the ordinary, and it's in those moments that he calls us to worship. In verse 4, it says, since ancient times, no one has heard or perceived or seen a God beside you who acts on behalf of the person who waits for him. What does it mean to wait on God? When we're praying, God, show us how to wait for you. No eye has seen, no human being has ever seen what would happen for a people that would actually wait on God. So what does it mean? It means to put a white towel over your arm. Lord, I'm happy to serve you. What can I do for you, God? You're the waitress, the waiter, waiting on God. And the Bible says we've never seen what would happen when God would act on behalf of people that would actually wait on him and wait for him. Well, that's what we've been praying for all of you. Sorry about that. Some of you may have really been feeling your life shaken up. Maybe God's been doing unexpected things in your life. It's because he's calling you to worship, calling you to a higher plane. So we're glad that you've joined us, and we're going to take this time together. We're in a conference here in Perth, Australia, and as we share together, we're capturing this on film so we can share it with other people around the world, because in Perth, we're at the end of the earth, the most remote city on the face of the earth, right here on the edge of Western Australia, right by the Indian Ocean, and we are praying that praise would spring forth from the ends of the earth. The Bible has a lot to say about that. So as we begin looking at worship, what we're going to look at is different mountains. When I started praying this passage of Scripture and preparing for a series of messages on Fan the Flame, this is from 2 Timothy, when Paul tells Timothy, Timothy, fan into flame the gift of God that is within you. And that passage of Scripture caught fire in my heart. And as I began to pray Isaiah 64, 1 through 4, the two themes of mountains and fire began to emerge. And every time I saw mountains and fire come together in Scripture, there was worship. So we're going to look at six different mountains of worship. We're going to look at, first of all, Mount Horeb, where Moses met God. We're going to go to Mount Sinai, Mount Zion. We're going to go to Mount Carmel, where Elijah was with all the prophets of Baal. We're going to go to Mount Moriah, where Isaac and Abraham went for Abraham to bring about that sacrifice. We're going to look at Mount Gerizim. Maybe you've never studied Mount Gerizim. We're going to go there for a time of worship, and we're going to finish at Mount Calvary. Of course, that's the place where worship originates and where worship ends, right at Mount Calvary. So join us as we look at these passages. We're going to start by looking at John chapter 4. This is going to be our key passage of Scripture, John chapter 4. In John chapter 4, verses 23 and 24. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth. Worshiping in spirit and truth is the whole point. What's so interesting about this key passage is that God is seeking worshipers. He's looking for you and looking for me to actually enter into worship. Now, in our churches today, most of us think of worship as singing worship. Our worship team comes and they put words up on a screen and they play with instruments and we all stand up, and now we call that worship. Back in maybe when your parents or grandparents went to church, when they would sing their worship, they would sit down. They had a hymnal in their lap. They would maybe sing verses 1, 2, and 4. I don't know why we had verse 3, because we never used it. So that was worship. Well, what we're going to learn in this series is that worship doesn't just happen at church. It doesn't just happen when we sing. Worship is a lifestyle. Worship is something we enter in with our whole lives. And as we learn to be true worshipers of God in spirit and truth, it's transforming. We pray that you'll be really different by the time this series is over. I want us to look, as we continue in the series, we're going to start in this session with the call to the burning bush. The call of the burning bush, that call on Mount Horeb. The call of the burning bush, you know the story very well, but I want us to look through different lens to see all about worship. Would you look with me in Exodus? Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3, verse 1. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the desert. Now, wait a minute. This is Moses. Remember, Moses is the guy that when he was born, he was a beautiful baby. In Australia, we would say he's gorgeous. He's beautiful. And his parents actually hid him for 3 months, didn't follow Pharaoh's command to have him put in the Nile River. When he was 3 months old and they couldn't hide him anymore, his mother made a little basket, put him in the Nile. Pharaoh's daughter found him. He became the grandson of Pharaoh. And as the grandson of Pharaoh, he received all the best education that Egypt could supply. I mean, he was a prince of Egypt. He had all the privileges and all the blessings that would accompany a grandson of Pharaoh. When he was about 40 years old, we learn how old he was from the book of Acts. When he was about 40 years old, somehow, maybe his Egyptian mother Pharaoh's daughter told him that he was actually Hebrew, not Egyptian. And as he came into a realization of who he really was, he must have had a sense of God's calling on his life, that he was to be a rescuer of his people. So, in his own strength, as a 40-year-old man, he went out, saw an Egyptian beating the Hebrew, hit the Egyptian, I don't know, hit him on the head, whatever he did, he killed him, hit him in the sand. And the next day, when he started trying to break up a fight between two Hebrews, they told him they had seen what he had done. Pharaoh found out about it and was out to kill him. Moses goes into the desert. He's in Midian. He gets married, has a child, and 40 years go by. He's now been a shepherd, which was in the Egyptians' eyes, the lowest form of occupation you could have, the most detestable. He's a shepherd on the far side of the desert. And that is where God met him to have an experience of worship. I want us to look in that verse 1 again. He led the flock to the far side of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. So we're going to go to Mount Horeb today and discover worship at Mount Horeb. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I'll go over and see this strange sight, why the bush doesn't burn up. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. Now, stop. In this verse, we're going to learn something critical and crucial about worship. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, when God noticed that Moses paid attention to his shiny object, God was ready to call him and speak to him. That's the first lesson I want us to look at in worship. At Mount Horeb, we learn God has shiny objects in front of us. That fire that was in this bush, the bush wouldn't burn. That bush was full of the glory of God. It had the Shekinah glory of God lighting it up. And Moses paid attention. Sometimes God puts shiny objects in your life to get your attention, because he's calling you up to worship. And your first response needs to be to turn to look and see what God's doing. Now, some of our shiny objects are not pleasant. Some are not nice. Sometimes the shiny objects in our lives are difficulties. It could be, that you're trying to have a baby and you can't have one. Maybe it's that you've just discovered more children are coming into your family. Wow, what are we going to do? I don't know what your shiny object is. Maybe your husband's lost his job. Maybe you've been asked to move. I don't know what your shiny object is. Maybe it's that you got some not very good news about your own health or the health of your spouse. And you're going, Lord, what's going on? But when you turn to look and pay attention to the Father in the middle of that shiny object, that's when God speaks. And God's going to speak to bring you up to a place of worship and give you an upgrade in your worship, take you higher in worship when you start paying attention to his shiny objects. Look what happens next. God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. God called him by name. And he said, Moses, thank you for watching. Thank you for looking at the shiny object. Now I have something to tell you. Did you know we're going to learn something really critical? It's going to sound so basic, but sometimes we miss it. Look in the first chapter of your Bible. Look in Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. You've read these verses a jillion times. You've probably got them memorized. But I want us to look at them again. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, And God said, most of the time we read on, and God said, let there be light. God said, let there be an expanse. And we go on and on. But I want you to notice in verse 3, and God said. Verse 6, and God said, and then later, and it was so. Verse 9, and God said, and it was so. Our God is a talking God. 11 times in the first chapter of the Bible, it says, and God said. And God said, our God is a talking God. And he speaks in a way you can hear him, in a way you can understand him. When he speaks, maybe it's a shiny object that he gets your attention with. And if you are listening, if you're ready to worship, he will call you by name and he'll speak to you in the middle of that circumstance in a way that maybe you weren't ready to listen to before. And God said. All the other religions of the world have gods that don't talk. Think about Buddhism. Their God is dead. Think about Hinduism, Islam. In all the religions of the world, their gods are dead. They don't talk. We worship a live God. He speaks, and he speaks in a way we can hear him and understand him, and he calls us by name. He knows your name, and he will speak to you personally. That's what was happening to Moses. Let's go back to Exodus 3. God says, Moses, Moses, and Moses says the three best words of response anytime you hear God's voice. A three-word prayer. Here I am. Here I am. Here I am, Lord. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am, Lord. That is a response of worship. When you see the shining object and you hear the voice of God, it's time to get in on worship and just say, God, here I am. I'm available. I'm listening. I want to be your worshiper. Verse 5. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you're standing is holy ground. Then he said, I'm the God of your father, the God of Abraham, God of Isaac, God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. God knew back when Moses was 40 years old, Moses, thank you for trying to rescue my people, but you weren't ready yet. I needed to take you to the backside of the desert and wait 40 years. At this point in the story, he's 80 years old. The writer of Acts, Dr. Luke, tells us he's now 80 years old, and Moses has been seasoned in the desert. Now, Moses thinks, I'm a has-been. I'm dried up. God could never use me now. I've lost all my physical strength. I'm not so sharp as I was back then. But think about the Moses that God has as a worshiper now as opposed to at 40. At 40, he had all the education of Egypt, but he knew nothing about life in the desert. God took 40 years to teach him the geography of the desert where he would not be shepherding sheep. He'd be shepherding a million people. When he brought him out of Egypt, God had seasoned his shepherd, and now it was the time to use him. Look down in verse 10. God says to Moses, so now go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I? Who am I? Back when he was 40, man, he was the man. Now he's 80. He's been broken down. He is soft and tender and ready. And he says, God, who am I? I can't do it. And God says, beautiful, verse 12. And God said, I will be with you, and this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship on this mountain. God is seeking worshipers. He's looking for those of us who would worship in spirit and truth, who would enter into worship and go up the mountain with God. He's calling you up to Mount Horeb. will you go and worship? When there's a shiny object, will you turn and look? When something strange happens, when something out of the ordinary happens in your life, look at it. It may be a shiny object, shining to get your attention. To worship on Mount Horeb, not only do we need to look at the shiny object, we need to listen to the voice of God. He's a talking God, and He speaks in a way we can hear and understand. So when you come to worship at Mount Horeb, listen. Bow your knee, bow your heart, and come ready for worship. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for your word that teaches us how to worship. God, we want to be worshipers who worship you in spirit and truth. God, teach us how to worship. Lord, we come before you, your holy presence, bowing our hearts, bowing our lives, wanting to worship. And so we say, here I am. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.